vegan market, Bucky's birthday party? Miracle. There you go.
Welcome to the Abracadam Podcast. I'm your host, stand-up comedy magician Danny Whitson. Like always, Abracadamets, I hope you're getting stuff done, son, meeting them goals. We all have things that we would like to achieve, at least we should. So keep striving, keep working. I'm rooting for you. Good news is this weekend we spring forward, baby. Yes. So the days will be getting longer, which that means summer is on the horizon. Summer is coming. Yes. I think with 99.9% of everyone in the country think this time change crap is like played out. Yes. We need to stop messing with the clocks. Can we just leave it at this right here? I would be cool with just leaving it right here. I'm pretty sure farmers are cool too with it. But yeah, that's something cool to look forward to. Something else to look forward to, Abracadamets. If you are in the area, April 9th, I'm going to be at the 1907 Brewery in Morristown, Tennessee. That's going to be a hell of a time, a great time. And it's a fantastic brewery, really cool venue with excellent beers. Okay. And then after that, April 30th, I'm going to be at the Wallace Theater in Johnson City, Tennessee. And that's going to be a Abracadam good time as well. So, you can probably check out, get tickets there at the, wallacetheater.com and 1907brewery.com. Check out both of those sites for tickets. If you're in the area, come out and see a show. I would love to see you. All right. With that being said, let's give a big shout out for the sponsor for today's episode. This episode is also brought to you by Will's Towing, located at 2081 Oak Ridge Turnpike, Oak Ridge, Tennessee. Now, guys, no one likes to be broke down on the side of the road. It's awful. It sucks. But don't panic. If this does ever happen, give Will Roberts a call at 865-272-5300 and let Will Roberts take care of your towing needs. Will will come pick it up and he will park that car anywhere you need him to park it. If you want that car set in your living room, Will will put it in your living room. Also, we've all seen those tow truck drivers that show up and they look kind of sketch. You know, like they may have been touching a possum before they came up to you. You know what I mean? One of those guys. You never have to worry about that at Will's Towing. Everybody who works at Will's Towing is clean, safe, and very friendly to deal with. So if your car breaks down, you need a towing service at all, give Will Roberts a call at Will's Towing. That's 865-272-5300. All right, Abracadamets. Now, today's episode is a cool one. Yes, especially if you're into UFOs and UAPs. I almost said UAPs. You done with UAP? I don't know if I am or not. I think I like UFOs better. But anyways, if you've had any interest whatsoever in this topic, well, then you're going to love this episode. Today's guest, she's very, very knowledgeable on this topic, and she hosts an amazing podcast that takes you through everything that's kind of been going on of lately with UFOs. Now, if you've been living under a rock, right now, the past couple years, we've had some really cool things pop up about UFOs. With the Navy releasing a video, you know, the Tic Tac video, and then the classified documents that were turned over to the Congress from the government about what we know, and we know how that went. But anyways, if you don't follow and you wanted to learn a little more kind of what's going on, then I highly recommend you check out her podcast because, like I said, she breaks it down and covers everything. And also, she's just not like narrow-minded, like it has to be aliens. It has to be. No, she's open for discussion and she covers some episodes of that of her own of some other things that it might be other than aliens. Anyways. If you will, Abracadamets, sit back and relax and enjoy my fun conversation with the host of the UFO Rabbit Hole Podcast, Kelly Chase. All right, I'm excited. We've got Kelly Chase from the UFO Rabbit Hole Podcast here on the Abracadam Podcast today. How you doing, Kelly?
I'm great. How are you doing, Danny?
Doing good.
Now, I tell you what, now I just said a mouthful right there for all the listeners. But if you don't mind, will you go ahead and give a little more in-depth introduction?
Yeah, absolutely. So my name is Kelly Chase. I'm the host of the UFO Rabbit Hole podcast. It's a relatively new podcast. Just started in the last couple of months. But yeah, I'm just some lady who got real weird into UFOs and decided to make it into a podcast. So it's been a fun ride.
Well, first of all, it is a very well done podcast and I can't recommend it high enough. I don't even know how I discovered it. I think I may have saw, I don't know. You know how social media reads our minds. They're like, we know everything you do and everything you like. So they were like, here's some UFOs, Danny. Here's some UFOs. And your podcast popped up. Now, when I got to listen to it, I was like, first of all, this is very well done because we do listen to a lot of podcasts and it's very professionally done. And you are very, very knowledgeable on the topic, especially of the stuff that's going on right now. But let's do this. Before we even get to talk to the podcast, let's talk about UFOs. Kelly, what got you into UFOs? Did you see a UFO? How did it start?
So I actually have only been really into UFOs for maybe like 8 or 9 months. Like, but when I go hard, I go hard. Like, I don't fuck around. Like, my dad always said anything worth doing is worth overdoing. And I've definitely lived by that credo. I did see a UFO once when I was 12 and, it was kind of a anticlimactic experience. I saw light doing things it shouldn't be able to do. I don't know. It didn't make a huge impression on me at the time, to be honest. But then last spring, I started hearing about, the Pentagon talking about how UFOs are real and they don't know what they are. And I was going on vacation to the Outer Banks, which is actually where I saw that UFO when I was 12. And I'm like, I'm going to dig into this on vacation. I'm going to find out what's going on. I'm going to figure it out. And I have not figured it out. I have no idea what's going on. But it's become a really cool hobby for me.
This is my stance a few years ago. Okay. And also I want to say this, because I've said this 1,000 times and I know listeners are probably tired of me even saying this, but, as a magician, okay, a lot of magicians don't believe in anything cool just because we know how everything works or how easy it is to dupe the public into believing things. And a lot of times magic will take advantage of that emotion that every human being has to where they want to believe in something. Do you know what I'm, talking about?
So totally.
I carried that with me all the time. And whenever I would see something, I would be like, well, this is how I would do it. Or, I was a huge skeptic on a lot of things. And when it came to UFOs, I never believed that we were being visited because I would think of the science and how difficult it would be for another species just to consider coming here. You know, I mean, we don't even think about things like the mass of a planet has affects its gravitational pull and how difficult it would be for us. We just can't show up on any rock in the solar system. You know, I mean, so many things you have to take into consideration. And I was always a huge skeptic. And then I will tell you the thing that really opened my eyes was the Bob Lazar story. Mm-hmm. And I know you're familiar with. And I actually, before I watched the documentary, because you can go see the documentary Bob Lazar on Netflix, which is a good documentary. I really wish, though, they would have left out the creepy music and stuff. You know what I mean? Because it doesn't. It really doesn't need that. But I watched Bob Lazar when he was on the Joe Rogan show tell his story. And that wasn't a man lying. That was a man telling the truth. I mean, you can look at the fear in his face. You can look at how, I mean, a man just would, it just didn't make sense for him to lie and make the story up. And then I went and watched the documentary and I was just like, wow, something is going on here. And then I looked more into it. And also I got to give him a plug because I give him a plug every time I have a UFO person on here. And now I'll do the same thing for you too, Kelly Chase. But Ryan Stacey, I was my first UFO guest I had on. He, was a private investigator before he got involved with MUFON and some of these other organizations. Mm-hmm. And so he knew how to actually investigate. He was a real investigator. And now he's not even with MUFON anymore. He's got his own thing called Tessa. But Ryan made me even more of a believer. He showed me some things, some pictures, and he really broke it down. And it was just insane. Blew my mind. So, but anyways, I've been following somewhat of what your podcast is talking about, but not as in depth. I mean, you've went really in depth with it, which if anyone wants to learn, a fantastic source is to go to Kelly's podcast, UFO Rabbit Hole, and listen, because you will learn everything you need to know about what's going on right now. But that was with me. You know, long story short, you know, maybe it wasn't so short. I apologize. But but I mean, that's what made me, you know, really involved in looking at this. And but for you, it was you saw a UFO, but did you kind of write it off, or was it something that really grasped your interest?
I feel like it grasped my interest for a minute, but not for very long, because I think the thing that you find with this phenomenon is that people don't have anything solid to attach it to. You know, it's this kind of like anomalous data point, and you don't know what to attach it to. And so you just kind of let it float away. And I think it's really easy to assume, oh, I didn't really see what I think I saw, or, you know, whatever that may be, just because, like, if you don't know what to do with it, then what?
Exactly. And I mean, you know, I could only imagine the people out there who do have the stories about, you know, witnesses with the UFOs and even, you know, abductions and stuff. I mean, I can only imagine, like, one of the most, this will make the hair raise on the back of your neck, is the Betty and Barney Hill audio.
Yeah.
Oh my God. When you hear Barney go into description when he's under hypnosis, talking about, oh, that's a man who is terrified. Yeah. There is pure fear in that man's voice. And I just, and at the time for, especially at the time, a biracial couple, I can't see why they would make a story up like that. Because first of all, they don't want the light on them. They don't want attention. You know what I mean? Back in those days, being a biracial couple, you don't want attention on you. You know, this isn't something that they are intentionally trying, you know, why would they make that up? So I just think, you know, it, the more and more I started looking at things, and I was like, wow, there's something really going on. And then the stuff that you were talking about with the, you know, you got the Pentagon, you got the Navy pilots who have seen the Tic Tac videos. It was just all these things were happening at once. So I think if anybody was a skeptic, now is a time to probably change your mind.
Yeah, and I think people will. I think this is coming, and maybe I'm naive. I've been in this for, you know, less than a year, and there are people who have been doing this for decades. And I think that there have been lots of moments, you know, Dr. Stephen Greer's work with the disclosure movement at the, you know, late 90s, early aughts comes to mind, where I think people thought, like, okay, we've reached this kind of critical tipping point and things are going to change and we're going to get some answers and we don't. And so maybe I'm naive, but it does feel like there's kind of this momentum built up. It's hard to, I mean, even just the fact that, like, just this week, 60 Minutes did a 2-part thing on Havana syndrome, you know, and they haven't made that connection yet. And I don't know that they're connected, but I will say that they've said the exact same thing about Havana syndrome that they've said about UFOs. They've said, we don't know what it is. They've said, we don't think it's our adversaries.
Okay, now, just to clarify, Havana syndrome, is that the thing that took place a couple years ago where it was a high frequency that came through there that made a lot of, I guess, you know, people sick and ill, correct?
Yeah, and it started at the embassy in Havana, but it's happened now all around the world to almost exclusively to intelligence officials and diplomats. And just this week on 60 Minutes, people came forward who had this happen to them on White House grounds. So this is something that is acting with complete, absolute impunity. We have no idea what it is. We don't know how to stop it. And the CIA came out and said, we looked into this. We don't think this is our enemies. Okay, so then who is it?
It's their What is going on, dude? What is going on? That's okay. This is the thing that I also said this about with the UFOs, you know, and I made this clear. I was like, you know, part of me wants this to, this is the reason why I want it to be you. I want it to be aliens from another planet. I really do, because, you know, we don't know what's up with them, but like, I don't want it to be Russia or China and they have right. money, but I'm just saying, I mean, I would rather it be, you know, some alien. I really would, but this is creepy. I mean, what in the world, you know? And it's almost like you want to think, well, what if the government, like, here's another theory. And I know you've heard this theory because it's so cool, Kelly, because I'm listening to your podcast and you throw these theories out here and I'm like, yep, I know that one too. That's the one I thought about. And it's, this isn't the fun theory. This is not the fun theory. And you even acknowledged it, but what if it is our government playing, you know, like almost like, hey, let's start a rumor that it's alien craft. That way it'll take the heat off of us because we got to test this technology. That's a very rational thought. It really is a very rational thought. The thing that I have a problem with that, though, is why would we do it to, like, our own guys? You know, the security risk, if those Navy pilots, what would have stopped them to maybe try to shoot that Tic Tac down? You know, even though I don't think they did try to, but it, you know, that's really risky. You know what I mean? To if it was us testing our own stuff out on us unknowingly.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I completely agree. I mean, listen, I haven't ruled it out and I won't rule it out because, like you said, of everything, is it the most rational answer? Yes. But in terms of the evidence, I think there's a few things to tell us that there's a couple of things that makes me think that it's not that. One is the government has been saying a whole lot of, I don't know lately in terms of, you know, the Havana syndrome, UFOs, all of this. That doesn't do them any good with the public, with our adversaries. It's not a great thing for them to say, and they really have to be backed into a corner to have to say it. You know what I mean? Like, if you're going to use this as a story to, like, control people, the answer is, we have this terrible problem, and we're the government. We're here to help. You know what I mean? Like, we have the answer. So that's one thing. And the other thing is that if this is a disinformation campaign, it is both very bad and overly elaborate, because there is a lot of infighting going on in the government right now. We have people like Lou Elizondo and Chris Mellon who are actively calling out both elements within the Pentagon and the entire United States Air Force and saying the United States Air Force is acting as a rogue, like, entity within the government that's withholding this information in a very unconstitutional way from the people. These are not small charges. And to see this kind of infighting going on in the government, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me if this is their story.
And it's weird because the Air Force isn't the ones that are, they're not saying anything. They're just,
they haven't said anything.
And you're like, dude, this is your place. You know, it's in the air. You're not saying anything. You know, that's what was really weird about that. And and it also takes me back when you go back and listen to Bob Lazar's story, when he's describing some of the craft that he worked on, that's kind of like what we're seeing, you know? And, you know, one thing I really want to point out about with Bob's story is whenever he was talking about working inside the craft, he talked about how he was restricted to just one area of the craft to work on. Mm-hmm. He wasn't sure exactly what was up on top or what was, you know, if somebody was lying. Okay, this is how a liar works. A liar would say, oh, no, dude, I went upstairs. There was a ceiling fan, bro. Had a big old flat screen TV, man. PlayStation 5. You know what I mean? They would throw, you know, stuff in there, you know, like he saw it all, you know. Bob wasn't doing that. You know, there's no doubt in my mind, I think Bob Lazar is telling the truth. Now, here's the problem, though, that I really had a hard time with. Okay. And this is your latest episode. You bring this up. Was the first time I heard Tom DeLonge tell his story. I literally was like, oh my God, this dude is batshit crazy, bro. There he is. You know what I mean? Blink, too. I was like, this dude's batshit. There's no way he's telling. But then when this stuff started coming out, this was the funniest thing to me because I was like, my God, dude, Bob, I mean, Tom DeLonge sounds like he was he right? You know what I mean?
I'll say that he has said repeatedly that he believes Bob Lazar.
Yeah.
And he, you know, and this is something that, like, through WikiLeaks, we got confirmation that Tom DeLong was talking to these elements within the United States government, with John Podesta, with multiple, you know, five-star generals. Like, this is, and, you know, like, at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. I wonder what he's talking to a general at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base about. You know, like, it's so, if it wasn't for that, I wouldn't believe it. I would never believe it.
Nobody would. It sounds like, I mean, why would you take a rock star, send him to the Pentagon, and say, hey, we want you to, you know, kind of help break the mold to this whole, you know, UFO phenomenon to the public?
No, and like, no shade to Tom DeLong. Love him. But like, this is not the person you choose to be your spokesperson of your, like, very serious endeavor.
I mean, no way, man. I was like, really? What? You know, that's it. It was so nuts. But the other thing is, when you got the other guys, like you talked about Mellon and, you know,
Lou Elizondo.
These guys are coming out, and now you've got, I mean, to me, I think if this was all a bunch of BS, man, they've stretched it so far and pushed it so far that if it ever come out to be complete BS, I mean, their reputations would be destroyed, you know? So
yeah. That's
why I don't think they're lying. I don't think, you know, not at all.
I mean, listen, if new evidence was introduced, that's the way it is with any of these things. You know, the thing is, I entertain all ideas, but I'm very careful to land on an answer, because I personally don't have enough evidence on any front to come to any kind of an answer. And so, like, if new evidence was introduced, you know, I haven't completely ruled it out, but based on the vast amount of evidence we have right now, I think it's very unlikely that this is a disinformation campaign.
Now, why do you think this? Because I find this annoying, and I am a big physicist fan, astrophysicist. I love a lot of these guys. I wish if I would have been smart enough and not suck so bad at math, I may have went that direction with my career. But Neil deGrasse Tyson, it's like he shits on everything UFO or any possibility of it, and like he can't grasp that we could be visited from another species. And he even did a mockery of it, you know, when he was first asked about it, which is kind of insulting. It is. It's like, well, then what's going on here, Neil? What are these videos? What is this? You know, and I think sometimes scientists, physicists, even though I am a science person, I support it. But I think sometimes they're humans, too, and they can already have their minds made up. Before, you know, just like anybody, with your mind's made up, you're trying to support what you already believe. And, you know, unlike what you're doing, you're waiting for actual evidence before you jump on anything. That's one of the things I think is kind of annoying. It would be nice to get somebody in that field that kind of supports what's going on right now.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And you like perfectly plugged my latest episode that just dropped, where I talk a lot about, you know, science and pseudoscience and what's the differentiation. And I actually use Neil deGrasse Tyson as an example, because like he had that tweet that went viral a while ago that people continue to memeify over and over again. That is basically, the good thing about science is that it's true whether or not you believe it. And that right there, I think, is the issue, because science is not true. Science isn't like a collection of facts that have been verified. Science is a methodology. And
bingo.
So you have these scientists, though, in a lot of ways, I think COVID really made that happen too, as well. Like, I think that we've divided on these like science, anti-science, but like, I think what people on the science side don't recognize is that the way in which science has been turned into a religion, where it's like, this is absolutely the right answer and we're not looking at any other evidence, has really alienated a lot of people who like have eyes, you know, and are like, but wait a minute, what about, and you've got Neil deGrasse Tyson being like, nope, no way. And it's just like, but just open your mind for like a second and like, think about it, you know?
It's so true. And I've said this too. I swear to God, I've said this. As I said, you know, science is, it's a method. It's not a religion. It's not science versus this. No, so the scientific method is what we are taught So when you do the scientific method, it's a way to discover things, you know, to find the truth, you know, and if you can repeat it over and over, then you got an answer. So, I mean, that's something where people have totally lost it. And yeah, absolutely. With COVID too, everything, people, I hate people. I'm just kidding, but you're absolutely correct. So here's another theory I want to throw out here because there's so many, so much good stuff. And I thought of this, I'm not tugging my own horn or whatever, but I just think a lot, you know, I do think about crap a lot. And I'm sure someone else thought of this too, which I know they have, cause I've heard a theory come up. But I thought one day I was like, you know, cause this is one way I will approach things. I kind of think, okay, what do I know exists? I know for a fact human beings exist. Okay. And I know technology exists. And I know the nature of human beings. And our nature, what we do is we overcome things. We've done it our whole existence. So anytime you tell a human being in general, you can't do this, we figure out a way to do it. Somehow we do. Mm-hmm. So those three things I know exist: technology, human beings, and human nature. And now here are these UFOs. And I thought, what if, and I don't know if you've ever heard Einstein say this, but whenever Einstein was asked about time travel, his answer was, well, if time travel is real, where is everyone from the future? Well, what if the UFOs were actually us from the future coming and visiting the past? And, you know, they're maybe not meaning to be seen, or maybe they are meaning to be seen now, but it could be us. That's a theory I threw out here. Now, here's another wild one, too. I want to throw this out here, which is kind of related to that same theory. But what if human beings, what if this is what we did? What if we went to planet and we kind of like planted our seed on each rock? And that's just kind of what the whole universe was, you know? And what if this was us maybe swinging by to check on, you know? I mean, there's a lot of possibilities that sound so wild, but
Let me connect the dots for you on that one, because I think what you said is really interesting. And this is an idea I had, all these, I hadn't connected the dots on this till like last week when someone else said something to me. I was like, oh my gosh. So there's a lot of evidence that, not even evidence, we actually know that forward time travel is possible. If you like go fast enough, if you go close enough to something, it has like a lot of gravity. There's time dilation, you know, and it's like Interstellar. You know what I mean? Same, right. So we know forward time travel is possible. There's all kinds of reasons, including the second law of thermodynamics, which say that we may not be able to go backwards. And so the future human idea is a great one. But at the same time, it's very likely that time travel only goes in one direction. So, you know, the thing you're talking about in terms, like, so maybe it is humans, but not from the future, but from the past.
Wow. That's even crazier. Right?
And for the record, Tom DeLonge says that there's humans all over the universe at all different stages of development.
What if this was something else I was thinking about, because maybe this connects to what Tom said there, is what if this is what, okay, let's go back and talk about Earth, the planet itself, you know. What if this was every planet's goal is to evolve life on it like we are? You know, like we think we run the joint, but technically really we don't, you know? And, but what if that's how, what if they were, you know, us all over the universe? Exactly. There were humans all over the universe. And that's just, you know, eventually that's what a planet, a living planet, thriving planet wants to do, you know? There's so many wild, crazy things out there. And here's the other thing is that when you do really look up out at space, and the universe is so ginormously, unimaginably big, we really don't know anything.
Yeah.
I mean, really, we don't know anything. I mean, you know, our reality is perceived up here, is created up here, you know, I mean, And when you really think about this, this is kind of strange too, but even the smartest people in the world, you know, are astrophysicists. They look out into the stars, they look out into space, and they find explanations based off the tools that we've created to try to understand the best we can. But that doesn't really mean that we know anything. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know?
Yeah.
I mean, so it's so wild. It's so wild.
Yeah, I mean, I think that I went through, I mean, listen, before I went down this rabbit hole, I was seriously the largest skeptic in the world. I was an atheist. This actually changed that for me. Like, I think that I went through an enormous humbling of recognizing not just how much I don't know, but how much we as a species don't know. And we tend to think we have everything figured out, but you know what they say about science, like, give us one miracle and we'll figure out the rest. Because, you know, the Big Bang, just the idea that all of this came from absolutely nothing in one instant, that's not an answer. You know what I mean? Like, that's not an answer.
That's almost the same as saying that a magical wizard lives in the sky.
I mean, yeah.
I'm kind of the same boat as you. I grew up being taught, like, I'm from Tennessee, so it was, you know, Baptist and this and this. And then, especially whenever, you know, I got into, the magical arts, and you learn, well, this is how to fool people and deceive people. And I became an atheist. I absolutely 100% was an atheist, thought, you know, well, when you die, nothing happens. This is just how it is. And, then, but I will say this, and I know this is a different topic completely, and I don't want to jump off topics here, but I did have a paranormal experience when I was a child, and which I tried to explain, rationalize, I never could, but I kind of ignored that. And then later on, I had something else happen, which started to open my mind, which helped me open my mind to this, which has led me to this exact same place to where you are. I am a very open-minded person now. I am not an atheist. I'm not a religious person, but I am a spiritual person. So, and I also consider myself a rationalist, which some people would argue with me. You believe in UFOs and you're a rationalist? And I'm like, yeah, yeah. But to me, to be spiritual, I think it's rational to consider there a possibility of an intelligent designer of the universe. It's rational thought. And also, it's kind of a bummer to think that there's nothing. You know what I'm saying? So you have control. You have control of that happy thought yourself. You are in control of that happy thought. Why not have it? You know what I'm saying? Why not have it? So, but I'm with you. And now with the UFO things and stuff too, it's even opened my mind even more to that. So yeah, I'm no longer an atheist either because of the what you would call the supernatural.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that science is getting closer and closer to overlapping with spirituality. And, you know, there are people who are really open to that and who are exploring it. And there are people who aren't ready to have that conversation. And, you know, I think that it's going, I have no idea. I hope that where all this is going is, kind of an awakening on our part. You know, we have a very kind of spiritually sick culture.
We do.
And it would, I think that having these bigger thoughts and not being so sure and being willing to say, I don't know, and being willing to like truly consider what could be, I think that that could have a real healing effect on people. It had one for me and for so many other people I've seen go down, you know, this rabbit hole. And I'm hoping this is where we're going. Like, I hope as a society, this is where we're going, but we'll see.
All right, guys, for you guys listening, that's how sneaky Kelly Chase is, folks. She'll drop the rabbit hole in there. So there we go. Subliminal messages by Kelly Chase.
I'm a marketer in my day job, so.
You know, something else I'll bring up, this is really interesting, is a podcast that I just did. Actually, his episode will be out here next. Well, anyways, not next, but the time this one plays, his will already be out. But he was a near-death experience. He calls it a near-life experience by 100%. You know, I know why. But his first experience, Kelly, his story is really strange because when he said he died, he was a little child, and he said he was standing on a spinning top with bright lights. And wow. Oh, yeah. It's really cool. You'll have to listen to it. But it is really cool. And I even told him, I was like, dude, you know what popped in my mind when you said that, bro? I said, I'm thinking a flying saucer. I'm thinking something like that. And he said, me too. You know, so, I mean, it's a very interesting story he has to tell. But, I mean, I agree. I mean, who knows? And even whenever you can trace back to history, when people would look at the sky and they think they were seeing angels, but it could be, you know, the spacecraft, UFOs, who knows? Absolutely, who knows?
Yeah. I mean, I think one of the best tricks that the government has ever pulled on us is getting us to just dismiss these things. You know, like you were talking about, like, first of all, I think it's very difficult to find anyone who's come forward with some sort of an encounter or an experience who that's made their life better. You know, there are people who kind of lean into it and figure out life from then on and, you know, do what they can. But like, it doesn't make people's lives better. If anything, I actually kind of hope I never have an experience like that, because I think that there's an isolating nature to it. It separates you from other people, and people think you're crazy. But I think what's so insane is, like, just as an example, I was reading, Plato was one of the first people to talk about Atlantis, at least in terms of what we have recorded, decided to actually read that. And like, one of the things it said a couple of times is, I know this sounds like a myth, and there are myths about it, but this is a true story. And so, like, I'm not saying we automatically are like, okay, trust me, bro, and believe it without looking into it. But like, the way that we have been convinced that like, that humans reporting their own experience is so unreliable and is crazy to me, you know? Sure, people lie, but not everybody.
Yeah. I mean, people do lie. And because one of the things with, and it's something that you always have to take into consideration, is especially these days too, this is something we got to be careful, because human beings have always wanted 15 minutes of fame, always. And, you know, that's nothing new. And now we live in a time where it's super easy for anyone to have their 15 minutes of fame. But we also live in a time to where everyone has a freaking camera. And so if something does happen, they can capture it. So this is why it's kind of a weird place for the evidence that we're getting, because you're like, well, there could be a high influx of people who are trying to fake these things. But then also you got to take consideration that everyone on the planet is walking around with a camera. So, you know, nothing gets by us, you know. So I think that's probably another reason why now we can have television. One of our favorite shows that we watch is Paranormal Caught on Tape, you know, and a lot of it is garbage. I'm not going to lie. A lot of them like, yeah, that's garbage. But every now and then they'll have something on there and I'm like, holy crap, that's interesting, you know, and that's the best that I can say, because I don't know for sure, but I can just say, wow, that's really interesting. Now, are you familiar with the, and I'm sure you are you familiar with the, I guess it's like the triangle shape like crafts over the White House?
Yes, that's one of my the triangle or the pyramid?
Because there's the pyramid. I was trying to think of something besides a triangle.
Yeah.
That's how I just went blank. But
that's my favorite UFO sighting ever. And I don't know what I think about it, just because it's like too perfect. It's too outrageous. But here's the thing that's really crazy about it that most people don't mention. Is that those videos were uploaded, so we've got dates and all of that, on YouTube, the original videos, the morning that Trump announced Space Force.
Wow. Okay. I got to talk about this too, okay? So one thing I got to say about Donald, all right, and regardless outside of any other stuff, we're just talking about UFOs. He, you know, being a space person, when he talked about Space Force, I was like, hell yeah, I like that, you know? And, you know, of course they clowned it and everything because it came out from him. At the same time, I was like, well, wait a minute, I don't care who's president at the time. I think Space Force is something super cool to have. and now we're getting this too, which is weird. And then also, Trump was the only president I ever heard that he acknowledged evidence. He acknowledged that, I can't remember the exact words that he said, but he talked about stuff, I think, from Roswell that was made very interesting to the Roswell, you know, some, do you know what I'm talking about, Kelly? Do you?
Yeah, yeah. And he did that. And he also tried, and I think was stopped, but he did legitimately try to release the JFK stuff too.
Okay.
But that didn't work out. No, I mean, I'll give him that. Like he was open to all of that. And, you know, something that almost like that Space Force thing and the pyramid, like really connects for me just based on his personality profile, I could totally see him being like, oh, you're going to fly your UFO over the Pentagon for 2 hours. Well, guess what? We're going to have a Space Force, you know, like I can see him reacting quickly in that way. You know what I mean?
That is super true. That is so Trump. That is so Trump.
Yeah. He acts quickly. I'll give him that.
Well, Jimmy Carter tried because Jimmy Carter saw a UFO and I don't think Jimmy Carter had any luck. Bill Clinton tried, but he had no luck. You know, President Obama made a comment on live television, and you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
That you're like, what the hell is going on? Why would he say this if it's not real? You know, so they've made the comments, I think our presidents have limited power when it comes to these things. Now, have you heard the rumor? Was it, what president? Was it Truman that they said? There's a rumor that Truman actually met with an alien at one time. Are you familiar with that story?
I'm not as familiar with that one. And I believe Eisenhower, but don't quote me on that, okay. Allegedly. And President Eisenhower's granddaughter is actually like very active in the UFO community as well.
And
claims that her grandfather had those experiences.
That would be really interesting. Gosh. There's also a rumor about a comment about President Reagan where he was at when he was watching E.T. for the first time, made a comment about, you know, if the public, you know, knew that we've been talking to these beings for years, they, you know, which is still a weird rumor to just make up.
Yeah. I mean, someday I'm going to do an episode on presidents and UFOs because George Washington had a UFO sighting.
Did he really? I didn't
he
know.
Sure did. Yeah, he sure did. I don't think people realize how long this has been going on.
Wow.
But for a very long time.
Damn, I couldn't imagine what that was
like. Yeah, and they had nothing. Actually, there's this really interesting... There's another thing I want to do an episode on. There's this really interesting kind of story from the mid-1800s where there were people all over the country reported that there were these big airships, like a blimp or a dirigible, but this was before those existed. And they claimed in these like small towns and like the wet, like out in the American West and that sort of thing, that these like an entire town would be like, oh yeah, they flew right in, they landed. It was humans in them. That they came out, talked to them about all kinds of stuff, got back in, showed them the ship, like all of this. Like this happened all over the country of these airships, and that's like, what the heck? And so I think there's even another interesting idea, which is like, what if this is a breakaway civilization? Like, what if these are humans who have kind of hoarded knowledge and resources to an extent that they are living in a different reality than we are at this point?
It's like Amish in reverse.
Yes.
Brother Malachi, welcome to Earth. All right. There you go. That's interesting. Maybe, man. I can get on board with that. Now, do you think, okay, so that just, let me bring this up because I know you're familiar. The Zimbabwe, the school thing.
Yeah.
That's another one that just blows my mind because, you know, when they bring these kids back and they're adults, they're still telling these stories. And I mean, so there's so many incidences to where you've seen these UFOs, you know, schools. And here in my hometown, here, I don't want to edit that out, so that's going to stay in there. But here in my hometown, okay, I live in a town called Oak Ridge, Tennessee. And to give you some quick history real quick about Oak Ridge, it did not exist prior before World War II. It was part of the Manhattan Project. This town was created top secret, and they helped develop the bomb here in Oak Ridge, and Los Alamos was the other place. So it was here in Los Alamos. So this was a big hush-hush town. No one knew about it, top secret. Well, and around that time, Oak Ridge has a very we have our own UFO site. And which was really interesting, you know, because those things seemed to be heating up then, you know. And that was probably the craziest war in history that, you know, well, a lot of people talk about how, you know, it's because of the bomb. So do you think there's something to that? Do you think like the UFOs are associated with, you know, the bomb?
Yeah. I mean, I think potentially, things that I find very interesting about that are that some people have said, you know, Tom DeLonge is one of them, that, you know, that it was when we were doing upper atmosphere tests of nuclear bombs, that was the first time we ever brought a UFO down. And that the UFOs, that there's something about like the electric magnetic pulse of that messes with their stuff. And there's also the like interdimensional hypothesis, you know, where it could be that a nuclear blast has an impact, not just in our dimension, but, you know, in another dimension. So, I mean, it could be that they're just worried about, you know, us being assholes and having weapons that we're going to do asshole things with. You know, or it could be that like we are actually causing them damage in some way by using these weapons.
You know what's weird? Now, this is the other weird part. Okay. And I don't even know how far this goes until it gets like conspiracy crackpot, you know. But there's some people that, like, I've heard some people when they claim that they've seen aliens, you know, you've got the grays. And then you've got like these reptile looking things. And then you've got like these white people. I've seen some people be like, they had blonde hair and they were white. I'm like, damn, white people are everywhere, but
can't get rid of us.
Can't get rid of us. But I mean, so what is your take on stuff like that? Do you think, I mean, you know, do you think that's just wild imaginations, or do you think we've got reptiles running around? I don't know.
It's so hard to tell. It's very hard to tell. Here's what I will say. I think there is a couple of possibilities. What I reject outright is the idea that every single person who says they've ever had an encounter is full of shit. Like, I don't believe that. A certain percentage of them are, I'm sure. So what we see, though, is this commonality where we've got like the human. They're humanoid, right? Like, they're not human, but they've got the body shape of a human, two eyes, mouth, you know, all of that. That's unexpected, right? Like, if we're thinking about all the evolution that could happen all over the universe, that doesn't make a lot of sense that everybody would look humanoid. So I think that in and of itself is a really interesting key. And it could be that we're going to need to rethink exactly what being a human means. Or the other possibility is that there's, you know, like very famous ufologist Jacques Vallée, you know, who writes a lot about how, you know, going back to that example of the airships, you know, to him, what he sees is that this is a phenomenon that changes shape, that never really seems the same. Everyone kind of experiences it differently. And it also seems to correspond to the expectations of the people who are encountering it. So people in the mid-1800s, dirigibles and blimps didn't exist yet, but that was the next thing coming, and people had an awareness that technology was like somewhat possible, and so that's what they see. Now in the 90s, all of a sudden we become more aware of like genetics and DNA and all of those things. We mapped the genome for the first time, and now everybody's having abductions where they're like weird genetic experiments going on. So, which doesn't mean that these things aren't true or that people are making them up, but it could be that we're encountering something that our consciousness does not have a way to map. And so we kind of apply a blueprint to it that is, or maybe they project it to us so that we can comprehend it better. So I think it's one of those two things. Either we're going to have to rethink what it means to be human, or there's some kind of a consciousness projection thing going on.
Wow. I did not even think about that. I didn't even consider that. Okay. Like, how many times have you seen like somebody who hunts, they will put like these fake looking turkeys out in the field to make the turkey. Do you get what I'm saying? So
totally.
So the set, that is no different. You know, it's the way, you know, they may be projecting themselves to look something familiar to us that we would expect, or that's true. And wow, man, it's such a crazy thing. And now, so let me do this, because we've been talking this. Let's talk the podcast. What was it? Was it just everything that was kind of going on that you said, you know what, that's it, damn it, I got to do this podcast? You're needing a release, or your friend's tired of you talking their ears off, like, Kelly, please start a podcast. What was it? What happened?
It was kind of, so it was two things. One was that, one, not even that people were tired of hearing me, it's that I was tired of, there's no way to just start talking about this stuff and to somebody who's not initiated in any way and to not sound like a crazy person. And I give my family and my friends and my fiance a lot of credit for like trying, but even as I was talking, I was like, I sound crazy. And so I really had this awareness, like I wanted to start at the beginning and write it all down and get it and say it right and get my sources and be able to back up everything that I said. And so in some ways, this is like almost like, that this is me getting it out in a way that makes me not sound crazy. And the other thing is that like I am in my real life, I'm a brand director. Like I do a lot of like content, PR, that kind of stuff. And you know, what I saw when I started getting into this whole thing was just, listen, I listen to all the UFO podcasts. I love them. This is not me taking a dig on them, but it's the same people interviewing the same people in the community over and over again. And it assumes a level of just initiation into the topic. And I really feel like with everything going on that we are hopefully just a few short months away, you know, the new office, the new UFO office that was just created by legislation in December is going to have to start reporting to Congress starting in October. So like my hope is that people are going to start looking into this. And I really just wanted to take what I know how to do and create something so that when people go looking for this information, that like they have somewhere to start that's not going to go right to crazy town, that's going to like warm them up with some science and the hard evidence. And so it's just been like a really cool passion project for me.
That's super cool, because you are doing a fantastic job, by the way.
Thank you.
And when I say it's a very well done podcast, it is. It's a very well done podcast. And you can tell you have some type of background, or and you must be a damn good marketer, because damn, you got my attention. Like, I'm like, well, all right. Well, let's do this real quick, Kelly. We're going to change it up just a little bit here on the Abracadam podcast. We're going to do a magic trick. Yes. We're going to do one out of this world. Yes. No, I tell you, do you believe in mind reading?
Yeah.
Yes. Everybody's got that one crazy aunt. You know what I mean? You're like, yeah, she can read minds. And yeah. You can do it. All right, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to show you some cards, and I want you to think of one of those cards. Don't say it. Just think it. Get one of those cards in your mind, Kelly. Do you got it?
Yes.
I don't. Now, make sure you got it.
I do.
Because if you forget, I sound like a dumbass. Okay, so here we go. All right. Here we go, Kelly. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to lose the cards in the deck. All right. I'm going to cut right here, Kelly. Now, I'm obligated. I can't get out of this. For the first time, for the listeners, what was the card you were only thinking of?
The Seven of Spades.
The Seven of Spades. Ladies and gentlemen, one card only.
Oh, look at you. That's amazing.
Yes, you've been abracadabbed.
It felt good. I liked it.
Thank you, aliens. Thank you. They sent it down and beamed it to my mind. Tom DeLonge, you too, brother. Thank you. He taught me that one. well, I tell you what. So, okay, with this podcast, which is on every platform, any platform, everything out there, is this something that you're going to continue to do as more information pops up? Was that kind of your plan with it, or did you have an ending for it, or what's the plans for the UFO rabbit hole?
So I originally outlined just a first season that was like 12 episodes long. I think it's probably more like 25 now. It keeps growing. and the first season, my goal is really for it just to be a high level overview. I want to kind of hit all the high points and get people like really initiated and then start like really deep diving into like particular incidents and that sort of thing. So it'll probably take me the rest of the year to get it done, the first season.
Okay, cool. Because like I said, it's like a television show, because it's like boom, 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 the next thing, the way you're doing it. So I'm like, this is cool. What's coming up. And like I said, it's so very well done, very detailed. You cover all the corners. You definitely know what you're talking about. And it's nuts that you've only been into this 8 months. That's pretty crazy. So what do you think, any surprises, like anything that may be coming up that you maybe see coming down the pipeline? Because I was thinking about this the other day. I was like, okay, there was a lot of hype. We had the Navy pilots on 60 Minutes. We had this and that. And I did not know about the Havana thing being connected, thinking it might be connected to it. But do you see any other surprises or anything maybe we can look forward to in the UFO world news?
Yeah, I mean, I think that this year, I'm hoping, will be pivotal. So with Havana syndrome, what's really interesting about Havana syndrome is that, at least in terms of what I'm aware of, there's one other situation where people have reported these kinds of injuries, and it actually predates the first Havana syndrome cases. And I don't know if you're familiar with Skinwalker Ranch. Yes. There's a show. Skinwalker Ranch is the other place where this has happened to people. When people dig in the ground at Skinwalker Ranch, they get something that sounds very similar to Havana syndrome. So I think that what we're dealing with there is going to be weirder than we think. So we'll see how that goes. And I mean, if they're attacking people in the White House now and they're going on 60 Minutes to say it, like, believe the government is taking this very seriously. So we'll see what comes of that. What'll be really interesting is what comes of the report from the new UFO office that was created in December. What's different about this legislation is that it has been worked on by people like Lou Elizondo and Christopher Mellon, who met a lot with Congress, and they're trying to break down the walls. So the legislation says that every branch of the military and every intelligence agency and every office within the Department of Defense has to turn over every single piece of evidence that they have about UFOs to this office. Every single piece. And they then have to, starting in October, every few months, they will be reporting in front of Congress, and they also will have a mostly civilian oversight board with, like, you know, Harvard gets to name some people to this board. Like, you know, there's, so I think that what you're going to have is, number one, this is going to be talked about on the floors, on the floor of Congress. I'm sure a lot of it will be classified. So who knows what we're going to actually hear, but our representatives are going to start being briefed on this, and there's going to be a level of transparency brought to it that has not been there before. So I think it's going to be really interesting to see what happens.
That definitely sounds exciting. I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait anytime something new pops up. Well, I tell you what, Kelly, this has been a blast. You have been fun. But I tell you what, let the Abracadamets is what I call them. They're my listeners. Let them know where they can find more about Kelly Chase. Where can they learn more about what you're doing and the UFO Rabbit Hole podcast?
Absolutely. So you can go to uforabbithole.com. I've got all the links there. You can find me on any podcasting platform. You can find me on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook. If you put in UFO Rabbit Hole, you will find me. So yeah, I'm easy to find.
She's easy to find, guys. You definitely do want to check out that podcast. It is amazing. I want to say this, Kelly, once again, thank you so much for coming on here. It has been fun and knowledgeable. I've even learned some more stuff that I didn't know, and I would definitely have to get you back on here sometime.
Absolutely. I'd love to. It was fun.
All right. I hope you guys enjoyed that episode with Kelly Chase. Like I said, if you have any interest whatsoever in the UFO phenomenon, you got to check out her podcast, The UFO Rabbit Hole. It's on every platform possible. Go check it out. It'll cover all your questions, I promise you. And I'm looking forward to each episode that comes out myself, because I'm a big fan of it as well. If you guys have not done so, be sure to follow, subscribe to the Abracadam podcast. And also, head over to Patreon. The Abracadam podcast is now on Patreon. So show some love there for the podcast. We have three different types of tiers to where you can donate. And we get you some cool things back in return. So, like always, Abracadamits, thank you for listening.
Please stop drinking vodka at my kid's birthday party!